So, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. That's my voice after yesterday. Thank you for being here so early. How many of you were at the yesterday talk? All of you. Ah, that's good. Okay, so this one builds a little bit on that one. There will be a little bit of repetition, not that much, because, yeah, we didn't know. How much will be on both talks?
So just a recap.
Just a quick recap. I'll brush over so we have more time for questions. Yeah, this is more explaining how we integrated and use Knative in the context of CamelK. So yeah, I'm Andrea Tarocchi. I work as a software engineer for Red Hat. Long time open source enthusiast, those are my contacts. Is Nicola Ferraro, work at Red Hat as well, PMC member of Apache Camel. So I'm just doing the opening, he is the main star.
Just if you want the slides, we will publish them on Twitter. So
yeah,
just
so follow.
I published the slides of yesterday already, so I'll do the same today.
So what we are talking about. So the first few slides will be on defining what we mean by serverless in the context of the talk, or what we think it's serverless, because, I mean, there has been some confusion, serverless functions, what is what. Then some Knative basics, CamelK basics, I'll brush over those because it seems you were all here yesterday. And then how we use Knative in CamelK. Then Nicola will take over with his demo, and then there will be some insight on what we are working on next. Okay, so what is serverless? Do you have a definition? That's what does it mean, serverless? Like an empty server room? So, yeah, of course, that's not serverless. And before someone made the joke, it doesn't even mean someone else's server. So this is the definition from the CNCF working group on serverless. And so they say that serverless computing refers to a concept of building and running applications that you don't require to manage. And describe a fine-grained deployment model where you execute, scale, and build in response to demand. So it's more about not having to manage your stuff and using resources only and pay for them only when it's needed, so not when your application is idling, doing nothing. And yeah, of course, you can also argue with this definition, but it is what we took for through in the context of this talk. Okay, so how you do serverless? So on the left you have a traditional, let's say, company having its legacy systems running there, probably some mainframe, COBOL stuff, and how you do that in one big jump, like from mainframe to your flying unicorn serverless stuff? Probably not. Probably is not what is going to happen. Probably you need to bridge the two worlds and use both, and that's where CamelK plus Knative can help you. So, some Knative basics. If you're not aware of what Knative is, you can think about it like as some specification plus some default implementations. So the Knative project has been started by Google, but since then contributed by many companies, among them IBM, Red Hat, Pivotal, and some others. There used to be three main areas of Knative, but the build areas won't be there anymore from version 0.7, because they have realized that that's a more generic concern and will be will be addressed in an external project that does just build and CI/CD like Tecton. So there won't be any build anymore. So we are focusing just on serving, on the serving part, and on the eventing part. In a nutshell, the serving part is about auto-scaling your services and scaling to zero, and the eventing is about managing event-based application. So, serving. In Kinetic serving, you have these three, four, let's say, main concepts. So you have the service. Don't mistake that for the Kubernetes service. It's Kinetic service. So, and this object basically managed configuration of a service that can have multiple revisions. So if you do modifications, you can have multiple revisions of that. And a route that is a way to access the service. And the route can reference different revisions with different ratios. So you can say that you want 10% of the traffic to the revision 1 and 90% to the revision 2 to manage like ABI testing or some stuff like that.
That's not a camel route.
No, that's not a camel route. That's Kinetic. That's not camel. There is no camel here. That's not a camel route. There is a lot of clashing in names. Service is the same service as Kubernetes service, but it's Kinetic service. And route is the same as the OpenShift route, but it's not that, and the same as a camel route, but it's not that. There is a lot of name clashing. So that's in a nutshell the serving part. And then, I mean, this will be more clear in the demo. It's just brushing over that so you know the main concept.
Just to say something, if you don't target one revision, basically, so if you don't send traffic to one revision, Kinetic is able to scale down to zero. It means destroying all the pods that are related to that revision so that you save resources. That's what we will see later in the demo also.
So for the eventing part, the main building block are this. There is a channel that simply represent a thing in which you send events. Then you have producers to this channel that produce events into the channel. And then you have a subscription to this channel for each consumer you have of the channel. That might seem familiar to you if you've ever used a messaging system at all. And yeah, it is familiar because it is the same stuff. The format of the messages will be cloud events. That's defined there. And the implementation of the channel, of the channels, can be pluggable. You can have, for testing purposes, an in-memory channel that doesn't store stuff anywhere. Or Kafka, you can plug whatever system is capable of handling producer channels, subscription, and consumers. So there is a little bit more, the broker trigger model, which is a kind of new stuff, which is a higher level abstraction over what I've described before. There is also an event registry in the making for storing your event formats. But for the context of this demo, what we have said before, it's enough. KMLK basics. I'll brush very quickly over, so as a very quick recap. That's a camel route from Telegram, transform something, sent to Kafka, or read from Kafka and send to an HTTP, just an example. That's all you care about when you create a camel application. Once you have that file written, the camel command run that integration and create a custom resource on your Kubernetes or OpenShift cluster, and the CamelK operator will materialize that resource in a running pod. The architecture is this. You have your development environment, your CLI, as you have seen yesterday in the demo, and then that's how the integration custom resource gets created, and the operator take over and do everything else for you, as you have seen yesterday. So yeah, that's the responsibilities of the operator, the work that does behind the scene for you. like choosing the runtime, scaffolding the project, adding dependencies, whatever might be needed as boilerplate, and running it on Kubernetes. As we have said yesterday, the CLI is not the only client. Whatever can interact with the Kubernetes API to create that integration custom resource would be fine as a client. For example, the Synthesis application, which is a no-code web app to design your camera routes, basically. What's happening? Connecting. Okay. This works.
Probably is.
No. It's the network. Reconnect to the network.
That's it.
This works. Otherwise.
Nice. Did we download this?
No. Yeah, no.
Apri la.
No, go.
Is it connecting? This works. I don't know why this one doesn't work.
Refresh it. Nice. Google is down.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, we can do this. Can we zoom? Can we zoom?
Maybe just go from there.
Can you zoom it a
little
bit?
It zooms in the other way.
Yeah. It is Google.
Okay.
I know that works for you for sure. It's something, I don't know. Can you read? Yeah? Okay. Sorry. That's the Synthesis app as an example of a different client to do the same instead of the CLI, so you can design your integration directly. What's happening? Oh. Probably now is working. Let's see. Yay! Okay. So, yeah, designing your application via a web UI. By the way, the Synthesis project is open source, so you can come and check. Okay. So, how we use Knative and Camel K together? So, the Camel K operator can understand when is in a Knative environment, so if your cluster has Knative enabled, and then can inspect your code when your integration start or finish from a Knative endpoint, he understand that he needs to use the Knative profile. And instead of materializing your service as a deployment, it materializes it as a Knative service. So starting from the same integration custom resource, the operator is able to understand what you do in a context of a Knative environment. Again. Okay, so what does it mean? You have your Knative service there. That basically each route starting from a REST endpoint will have its Knative service in there. So this route basically listen to an HTTP endpoint and connect to external systems, whatever comment makes you connect to, do some work and then answer back. If you don't interact with your service, basically you don't know if your pod is there or not is there, a little bit like a Schrodinger cat situation. So once a request arrives, Knative understands that your service needs a pod to handle the request. The request is sent to the pod. Then the route is executed, grabbing stuff from system one, system two, combining it and answering back. If your service gets hit like crazy, Knative understand that and scale the pods for you. So instead of one, you might have 2, 3, 10. How many? So for the eventing part, if you see the difference here is that you now your route is listening for a Knative channel, the channel A. So the operator will understand all this and create a subscription over there, Knative subscription for your service for the channel, so that the Knative environment can understand that when an event comes to the channel, it needs to materialize a pod for you, and then it's like before. So, in the context of the Knative eventing, you can use CAML in three different ways. I mean, in the same way, it would be exactly the same way, but in three different contexts. As an event source, so your route will grab data from external to your serverless environment and send those data as events on a channel. Or you can use the enterprise integration patterns to do like content-based router filtering, whatever you can do with those patterns in between channels. Or you can use it as a sort of function, if you want, in which your camera route grab an event from a channel, do some processing, and send it to an external system. And that, and all of these pieces can be scaled to zero, depending on demand, as I've shown you before. So, if the internet is working, it's just Google. We will see the demo. Yeah.
Can you prepare a backup connection in the meantime?
A backup connection?
Oh. Yes, you have it. Oh. Let's try if... So, what we are going to do in the demo. So, the purpose of the demo was to show how even legacy systems can be connected to this kind of environment and how to use also CamelK inside this serverless environment. So we will suppose in this demo that we have a legacy system that has only one means to communicate, and it is of writing files somewhere. So in a shared volume in this case, we will have an integration called legacy here that will listen all the files that are pushed into that directory to take all the files and then push them into a Knative channel. We'll suppose for this demo that these are small files, but CamelK and CAML can be used also with big files in different ways. So it will push files into this Knative channel called in. Then there will be another integration called process that will do some content-based routing and then splitting. So if the file starts with a command, it will send it to an out channel or to a DevNull channel. DevNull is just the name of the channel. It doesn't mean anything else. Okay, and then there will be a Quarkus integration. I've put here the Quarkus integration to show how Quarkus works with CamelK. Just that. And then we'll talk after the demo about Quarkus, what it is and why we need it. And from the out channel, the Telegram integration will push that into a Telegram chat as before, as we did yesterday, almost. So let's start. Yesterday, Andrea used his own laptop with Minishift installed inside his laptop. So today we had the bad idea of using a real cluster, because with this internet connection, it is really a bad idea. But we hope it will work. So this is a cluster. This is an OpenShift cluster, OpenShift 4 cluster that is in the EU. So it's in Ireland probably, on Amazon. So the other side of the world. Here there is the CamelK operator installed. And I want to show you if internet works that, for example, on OpenShift 4, you have this kind of stuff called Operator Hub. It's not only an OpenShift thing.
If internet works. Try this.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just a
little. Here you have a catalog of operators available. All them are open source. They are not only Red Hat products. And here you see that the CamelK operator has been installed with two clicks, basically, from the user interface. This is also available, as I said, on Kubernetes, not only on OpenShift. And
In this namespace called Vegas, I have installed a series of operators. Most important ones are Knative Serving, installed from Operator App, Knative Eventing, don't care about this at the moment, and the Camel K operator. So these have been copied. It means in the jargon of the Operator App that they have been installed globally for all the clusters. So there is one operator serving all the namespaces, while I've installed Camel K operator only for this namespace called Vegas. That's why you see here in the workloads only the pod related to the Camel K operator, because it's local to that namespace. But Camel K can also be installed globally. It's just we prefer this kind of version. So I'm connected to this cluster, hopefully. And I would like to send them some integration. So what you find here in VS Code is, so I've already pre-created some channels, the in channel, this is a Knative Eventing resource. Okay, the in channel is an in-memory channel. It's backed by an in-memory implementation. There is no Kafka under the hood. An out channel and a devnull channel, and I'm going to use them. So the first integration that I would like to send to run from in the other side of the world is this integration, legacy.groovy. So it starts from file, from a directory TMP legacy. It takes all the files from there, convert the file to a string because they are small files, and then send them to the in channel. Okay, basic integration. So I would like to camel run this legacy groovy, and I would like to tail the logs. So if the internet works, what is that? Logs. If the internet works, it has been created in the other side of the world, and it is running right now. And as soon as it is started, you will see here the log stream. It seems a local process, but it's running in Ireland at the moment. So it's something really cool. So I can stop tailing the logs here, and I'm going to create the other integration. This is a standard integration, so it is a deployment. Why? Because it starts from a file. It needs to poll that directory. In this case, the directory is inside the container, but you can put it also on a shared volume so you can integrate it with your legacy application. Okay? But in this case, I'm just simulating it. So the second integration that I would like to put is this one. It seems complicated, but basically it listens from the in channel. Okay? Then if the body starts with exec, then it tokenizes, so it splits all the words of the file and then remove the exec and then send them to the out channel, out kinetic channel. And if it doesn't start with exec, it just sends it to devnull. Okay, it's just a content-based router with a splitter and some field and a filter. So we can run it as before, but I would like also to show this feature that is integrated with VS Code that our colleagues are doing. So you have a button here, start Camel K integration. It asks if you need some configuration. In this case, it's a basic integration. So if it works, yes, the process integration is running in the remote cluster. You see here that you see the deployment word here. This is just to confuse you, because this legacy one is a standard Kubernetes deployment, while this process integration is a Knative serving service. It means if I wait enough, and I will wait enough, you will see this pod disappearing in 1 minute, because it starts from a Knative channel. If there is no one pushing data into that channel, there is no reason to keep this pod alive. Okay? So it will scale down to zero. Because communication among channels and integration is based on HTTP. So it's not like the traditional messaging system where you have an application that connects to the broker and starts pulling messages. It's the other way around. So you create an integration, a subscription resource on Kubernetes, and then basically you tell Knative that when a message arrives into the channel, then you have to transform this message to an HTTP call to the integration, basically, to this process integration. So last one, telegram.groovy. It's not last one, there is also the Quarkus one. So it will listen from out and then send it to a telegram chat.
how do I pass here token and chat ID? I have created in advance a secret using this simple syntax of C create secret from an application.properties file where I provided the token and the chat ID, basically. The secret is already created on this namespace, and then I can use also the IDE integration. I tell it I would like to use the secret. It should fetch the secrets available. It is camel secret. And then it will run the integration, linking the secret on Kubernetes to the integration so that the token and the chat ID are passed to it. It is still a Knative serving service. It scales down to zero if you wait enough. You see here that it's going to be gray. If I remove here from the terminating pods, basically you see that process integration has been terminated already. Last thing that I'll put here is the Quarkus integration. So this is an integration not written in Groovy, not Java, it's YAML, basically. Why? Because I will tell you later, Quarkus has some restrictions on what you can do. So you can use with Quarkus currently with KMLK the JavaScript DSL, the YAML DSL, or the XML DSL. So this is the YAML way. So if you like to program in YAML, some people like. But this is it. So it starts from my new URI, the DevNull channel, and then it just logs a message. I'm going to use here a precompiled image, a native image. So it is Java precompiled to a native binary. I can change the code, but if I'm not changing the endpoint that I'm using, in this case log and URI and then a Knative, I can reuse the same integration, changing the code, the same image and changing the code. So let's run this, camel run Quarkus YAML, using the Quarkus kit, and it will be created on the remote cluster. I see the Telegram is still running, I don't know why. Okay, this should take some... Okay. Okay, Telegram has disappeared. As you see there, the legacy integration does not disappear because it needs to pull data from somewhere. So let's push some files. Just connecting, simulating a legacy application that is sending data. I'm just going to access the pod using a remote shell if the network works. Yes, and then I'm going to create a file, exec hello Vegas, and put it into the folder where the integration is listening. So I create this file, and you see here that immediately the process integration is starting a new pod. It is the first step in the scenario. So the process will start a new container. The container will become ready, and then it will look at the content of the file. It starts with exec. So after this, it will send a message into the out channel, and then the other integration, the Telegram integration, will start. Okay? It takes time. We will address this later. Okay, now it's ready. And then the Telegram integration starts a new pod.
Is that running native code or JVM?
It is running JVM, this one.
This one, yeah.
So it's Camel 3 main on JVM, no Quarkus. So when this will be up, we should see here something appearing in the chat. It takes a lot. But I will tell you why in a moment. We have not optimized this cluster, so there is some configuration that is not optimal, but there is also something more, and it is about Quarkus and JVM. So it's ready. We should see some message arriving here, if it works. Yes, hey. Hello Vegas. Okay, so now it should be faster. Now that they are warmed up, if I say again, hello Vegas, you should see the message in a moment, in a second, because they are up. And what happens if I don't start the message with exec Quarkus will reply, no? Quarkus. You see here that the Quarkus integration was scaled down and then it is starting. The container is not ready. I don't know why this, it takes some time. I know why, but
yeah, we know why.
I didn't expect it was so slow. Because the cluster is not so...
Yeah.
Is Quarkus? Okay, running and ready. And if you look at logs, what I would like to show, if the console allows me to show it.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's a square. Okay, hello Quarkus, you see it. But what's important here is that everything started in 30 milliseconds in this case. So it's really fast to start up. And it's using an HTTP server and just the log. This is a native compiled image. So there is no JVM. It's just Java compiled to a native binary running on the cloud. So this is it. I wanted to show... No, okay, no time to show it, I think. Just to if the auto-scaling, so that the Telegram integration can also scale up to 3 bots, for example.
Right.
But if you can run it...
15 minutes.
Okay, no, there will be questions. So let's go back to the presentation. So this is what we did. What you have noticed is that there is some latency. No, of course. So how many of you have used OpenWhisk, for example, or other serverless platforms? Okay. By the way, so other serverless platforms like Function as a Service have much less latency because, for example, OpenWhisk optimized the execution of your functions because it pre-creates some pods that are always running, and then when you send an event, then the application is started immediately and runs. There is no container that is being pulled. But there is a balance. So OpenWhisk and Function as a Service framework are for functions. Knative is for services. So you can run which service you want. In this case, we are running Camel services. And you can run also your application that is REST-based and it stays. If your application is REST-based and stateless, you can run it as a Knative service. You cannot do the same with OpenWhisk because it has some restriction, it is opinionated. You need to read the input from the standard input and then write the output in the standard output, something that you cannot do with the standard REST application, for example. So, but this doesn't mean that Knative is low, because there are at least 3 reasons why all this process had a high latency. The first one is any Kubernetes cluster, any real Kubernetes cluster is made of a lot of nodes. Like this one. So there is a single registry that contains the images. So when you start an integration, in this case, Kubernetes schedules the pod into one node. And the node has to download Docker pull, you know, pull the images from the from the registry into the local host and then start the registry. It doesn't matter if you use Docker or Podman in this case, but the concept is the same. This can be optimized. There is some concept in Knative that allow you to cache some images in the node, in each node of the cluster, so that for some integration they start much faster. But we have not used them in this demo. The second problem is that the health check are not configured in an optimal way. I cannot see it because they've been... Let's see at the deployment. If you look at the process and you could... Readiness probes. Okay, no, it's appeared seconds, timeout seconds. Okay, this is good, basically. But the problem is that it's running Java. I hope James Gosling is not around. So Kubernetes checks every second if the application is ready, but since it's Java and since this cluster is not performant, basically it takes time for the Java application to start. So Java is a just-in-time compiler, so when the application starts and starts to do something, then at some point it becomes really fast. But at the beginning, when it starts, it's really slow, you know? A Spring Boot application plus Camel can start in 15 seconds probably. We have removed Spring Boot, we have only Camel, but it still takes some seconds to start up. So the problem is Java, so yes, Java sucks in containers. Serverless functions need fast startup. At some point during the creation, during the development of Camel, we have thought about rewriting everything in Go, as we were telling yesterday. So we have created a prototype called the Camel with the G. But it's impossible. So the power of Camel is the 300 and more connectors that Camel has, and the enterprise integration pattern. We cannot rewrite all this stuff again and again in another language. So we had to find another solution. The problem is that compared to Java, where is the button? Okay. Compared to Java, Go application performed very well. This is a graph showing the memory, the amount of memory, and the amount of CPU. So with the same amount of memory and CPU, you can pack this many Go application in a node, in an OpenShift cluster, and this many Node.js application, but Java is heavyweight. So memory consumption is a problem, and also fast startup is another problem, as we were saying. So the trend in serverless application is to decompose your application into multiple services, as you have seen in the pipeline. So I've created four sets. Okay, thank you. That's just a few slides. I've created four services to do a simple stuff. You know, this is the trend. So, but if you do it with Java, you will use all the memory of your cluster. So we needed to find a solution. The solution is using this Quarkus framework. Quarkus is supersonic, subatomic, Kubernetes native Java. This is the, but basically it's a framework for writing Java application on top of GraalVM. GraalVM is a project from Oracle that has many purposes. One of them is to make your application natively compiled as a native binary, using this sub-project that is called Substrate VM. So Substrate VM is a part of Graal and it's about compiling Java. We, in CamelK, use the Graal compiler, Substrate VM, but Graal can also run on JVM hotspot. So you have these two modes of running. And even on hotspot, on the standard JVM, Quarkus plus Graal does some optimization so that your application uses less memory, a bit less memory, and start up faster, especially. Because you can anticipate a lot of configuration at build time. So when you start an application, for example, a CDI application, if you use Java. So the context starts, and then you start to discover beans. It happens the same on Spring Boot. But if you know, or if you have already packaged your application, why are you discovering bean at startup? You can do it in advance at build time. This is what Quarkus does. And we have done a lot of optimization in Camel 3 to leverage this. So the performance has this. So from a memory consumption point of view, this is an example CamelK application made with Quarkus. So this is the JVM mode. It uses so much memory. Don't look at the absolute value, but it's 150 megabytes. And startups in this much seconds. With Quarkus on JVM mode, the memory consumption is a bit less, not the same, but the startup time is much less because much of the configuration has been done in the build phase. If you compile the application into a native binary, the memory consumption would be very low, under 50 megabytes, and the startup time almost immediate. So if you optimize Docker container, Docker image caching, and then you put Quarkus on OpenShift, basically the latency will be much less, also on Knative workloads. And you save resources because when you don't use your integration, basically there is nothing running. So this is a completely different thing. So another point where we are working on CamelK, this is our future work. So Quark is not yet available. I've used a hack, a precompiled image by Luca, another guy that is working on Camel, to show you the performance, but it's not that there yet. This is something that is not there yet, but we would like to, we are going to work on that. So basically, when you create an integration like this from Slack, Slack room to log, basically, you run this as you've seen with the file, and it creates a pod that is always running and start polling the Slack servers to pull messages. This consumes resources, so in a serverless environment, this is not the pattern that you would like to use. Even it's doing long polling, it uses memory because it's still there. So what we are going to do now, we have added some something in Camel 3 and we are going to use that in Camel K, is that in the URI, you prepare this webbook, Slack your room. So the same integration, you write just this webbook before. And it changes completely the behavior. So the CamelK operator will create some resources to set up a webbook with a Slack server. You don't have to provide the address or host name of your class. The CamelK operator will detect them, pass them to the Slack server, configure a webbook, and configure a Knative service that will listen for events coming from Slack, basically. So when there is a new message written into the room, basically the message will flow to the OpenShift route, and then Knative will create a pod that will serve this request. So it will be serverless from the beginning. In the demo that I've shown, the legacy integration didn't scale down to zero. This can scale down. And this is it. So there are other things that we are working on. Supporting the Knative event in broker trigger model, continue working the Camel source. This is something that we'll talk about it later. So there is something that we are contributing to Knative that is called Camel sources, but basically they are not different from what we have seen today. Integrating them with Tecton pipelines and doing testing with CamelK integration. So if you want to contribute, just come to GitHub. There are some issues marked as easy fix newcomers. And then you can contribute. It's written in Go. There are some parts, of course, that are written in Java. Camel is written entirely in Java, so you can contribute. Questions? Oh.
Sorry, quick one. You said that webbook is part of Camel 3, yeah?
Yes. Camel currently, webbook currently is a meta component in Camel 3. So you can use it in standalone mode currently. What we are missing, so what we are working on, is to integrating all that workflow with Camel K. So if you use it in standalone mode, you have to provide a callback URL and other endpoint, other information, so that you can be called back by the remote service. What we want to do is to make this all automated using the CamelK operator. So the CamelK operator will provide all the information that you need, that the remote server need to contact you. And also doing the setup and the teardown. So you install the integration, it does the setup. It doesn't matter how much it scales up and down. When you delete the integration, the CamelK operator will do the teardown. So it will remove the webhook from the remote server. This is the thing that is missing, but we are working on this.
You know, it will also be possible for CamelK operator to know that this component support fetches and do it automatic, so you don't have to prefix it.
Yeah, that's also a possibility.
That's the next step.
That's the next step. So currently you have to do it manually.
And does I'm assuming it wouldn't work with the file component, or would it?
No. It won't work with the file component. It will work with remote cloud system, probably.
Yeah.
Most of them support the webbook base. Yesterday, if you've looked at the presentation by Uber, they were talking about integration with the Google Calendar. So that they have to do something when a new user is registered. So once every day.
They did the same manually, basically. They implemented the webbook themselves manually. With two camera routes, one for registering yes. yourself and one for pulling events, and the webhook would have helped them.
Yeah, this is part now of the Camel Core.
It's what most of the users are doing right now. Yeah. They are taking a webhook yeah. using their own and splitting into two routes, one consuming yeah. and one pushing to another using the native Camel Core.
Yes. The problem is that a Camel can run everywhere. But if you run it locally, it's really difficult to make a remote server call you because of firewall issues, you know. But when you run Camel in the cloud, like with Camel K, there are no limitations. You can create with the operator a route that is publicly accessible, and then you can register a webhook easily.
Depends on the runtime as well.
Yeah. Any other question?
Okay.
Okay.
That's it then.